The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13 cycles of Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length and much greater detail, with different participants and a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Shabbat is Daf Yud Dalet. How nice it would have been if it would have been Daf Yud Chet, the Yud Chet Davar would have been on there. We would have had a nice simon. But things don't work out that easily. And we're holding on Yud Gimel Amud Beit, right at the beginning of the list of the 18 things that were nigzar in the Aliyat Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Garon, which we spoke about yesterday in the Mishnah. And we realize that we've actually begun the Yud Chet Devarim without even having known it at the time, because it turns out that the Gezerah of Lo Yefaleh Et Kelav and Lo Yikra Lo or Haner were actually two Gezerot that were in that Aliyah. So let's take a look in the rest. In order to figure out precisely what the count includes, we'll have to first complete the Sugya. And so, Shmonasra Davar Gazru Oto Ayom, we're up about a quarter of the way to, at the two dots. What are these 18 things? Ma'inu Shmonasra Davar, it's not. One is a list of things that Pasal and Truma, we have many of the Gezerot, are part of the dinim of Pasal and Truma. You remember that Pasal and Truma does not mean to be Metame Truma. By definition, the word Metame means to give off whatever it is that Tuma is in a way that the thing that got it can give off itself. But when something makes, for instance, Truma or Kodesh unusable because it is Tame, then if it doesn't make the Kodesh or the Truma itself capable of exuding Truma, we only say Nifsal through Truma, not Nitma through Truma. So we're listing here the following things that will not cause Tuma in Truma, but nonetheless will pass on the Truma because of the Truma's contact with Tuma. And that is as follows. A human being who is Ochel, please keep separately how Ochel is the person who eats. Ochel, stressing the O, is the food. So Ha-Ochel, Ochel Rishon, someone who eats food that was Tame as a Rishon Latuma, and even Ha-Ochel, Ochel Sheni, even somebody who eats Ochel Sheni, and we need to know both of them, because had I said Ochel Rishon, only Ochel Sheni, I would have thought not just Kal V'chomer Ochel Rishon, I would have said maybe Ochel Rishon is actually Matame, not just Posel. Obviously, if we would have only said Ochel Ochel Rishon, I would have said, well, but Ochel Sheni isn't tummy enough to make the person who eats it Pasal Truma. So therefore, we need both of these cases, as Tosafos explains. Someone who eats Ochel, now normally Ochel cannot be Matame, a human being. It's a joke to think such a thing. There's only one case, and that is the Tuma of an Nivlat of Tahor, which has a unique halacha that it is only Matame, a person who swallows it, but that has nothing to do with eating, really. It's a technicality. It looks like eating. But it's a din in how a Nevela is Matame. But food is not Matame, never can be Matame, a person, because a person can only become Tame from an Avatuma, and by definition, food cannot be an Avatuma. Therefore, this is entirely Durabon, and we're going to see why we made such a strange Gezerah, so that a human being who eats food is considered to be pass someone who is tamei to pasal truma. Furthermore, someone who drinks mashkim tmeim also is going to pasal truma. Someone who took a bath, habaro shover ubo b'mayim she'uvim. Now, there's a big machlokas, many of the Rishonim hold this is only if he takes a bath on the same day that he went to the mikveh. Because as we're going to see, this is all a gezerah because people started to believe that the filthy mikveh couldn't be what's making them tahor. It's got to be the clean bath afterwards that's making them tahor. And therefore, they started cutting out the mikveh. And I might as well just go to a bath. I don't know why we have this strange, you know, walk into a hole. So because of that, they were gozer taking a bath this time. And therefore, we were gozer only on that day, according to many. The Rambam is not chalik between the two. But let's assume, like most of Rishonim, this means on the day you went to a mikveh. The next case, Abar or Shover Ubo, even somebody who is Tahor, who took a shower, Tahor Shanaflua or Shover Ubo, Shlosh Elugim, where the water fell on you, meaning from a shower head, There, obviously not only from a shower head, there it would be matame even someone who's tahor, because it was the primary way of washing off the filthy water. Not many people got to actually get into a Roman bath. So we were more makpid on this, as Tosfos said, to be matame everyone. Because otherwise, people would say, I come off it. If I'm tahor and I don't become tame, how do I become tame just because I came out of a mikveh? Therefore, we made a single gizera like that. Furthermore, a sefer means a sefer Torah or other kitvei kodesh that are written as a megillah, that is, believe it or not, going to passel truma. If a sefer Torah touches truma, you can't eat the truma. We'll see why that is. And hayadayim, the hands of a person who was not notel yadav, if he touches truma, the truma becomes yifsa. And a tful yom, which of course makes no sense whatsoever, because a tful yom in Yeraika passels truma. And Gemara is going to ask this. V'ha'ochlim v'ha'kelim shenitim u'ma mashkin. And mashkin, later on we're going to ask, well, you're not explaining what level mashkin, but we'll get into that. But certain mashkin that are metame, food and kelim. These things that come in touch with truma, pass on the truma. Now, let's start at the top. Mantana ochel ochel rishon ochel ochel sheni. Mifsal pasle. T'muya lo metamu. Who is the author of the shita that whether the person ate Ochna retame berishon or tame v'sheni, in both cases, he is not metame truma, he only passels the truma. Meaning that the truma, for all intents and purposes, becomes a shlishi, not a sheni. It's not really a shlishi, because a shlishi can make a revi, but it's the equivalent of the psula being a shlishi. Who is that? Omar Rabba Barbachana, clearly that is Rabbi Yoshua. It's not. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer ha'okaloch rishon rishon, v'okaloch sheni sheni, okal shlishi shlishi. So Rabbi Lazar says that if you eat food which is a rishon l'tuma, then you become a rishon, and that would be metame the truma to be a sheni, and then that sheni truma can make something else a shlishi, or be pasulit if it's truma. So obviously this is not the shita of the yotchet davar that we just spoke about. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, no. Whether you ate ochel ochel rishon or ochel ochel sheni. In either case, you're only a sheni. And when we talk about, by the way, in these cases, somebody who eats ochel shlishi, where the heck do you find such a thing? We're going to explain in a moment. If you ate ochel shlishi, you do not become tameh for anything but pasulin kodesh, because there's no such thing as a sheni that you would be through shlishi for truma. Where do we find a case, indeed, where you could be eating food that is a shlishi, and it would not be be'isr? Chulin shenaso atara truma. Normally, chulin, to speak of a shlishi, and chulin is ridiculous. Chulin is not makabel tuma at all from a sheni. However, if this chulin was being kept in a special condition, because the person who was eating it is a kohen, he had truma, he wanted to make sure that his food was kosher even for truma, then we're machmer on that kulin that it can be a shlishi. Okay, now, let's get into the reason for all of this. Why would ochel ochel rishon and ochel ochel sheni be pasulin truma by touching it? My time of gozru bei rabbanan. Now listen, there is an old gezerah, as Tosfos points out, which we've spoken about at great length, and that is called tumat gviyah. Tumat gviyah is that your goof becomes tameh by eating a large amount, and that's a chatzi pras. That's a large amount that if you eat, you are not allowed to eat truma. Not to be confused with this gezerah, which if you eat, you cannot touch truma. Okay, this is a later gezerah. The yudchet davar is not the same thing as psul gviyah. It's a different basis for gezeiras, we're going to see. It is not dependent on the shiur of the chatzi pras, and according to Tosfos, the two sugyas are completely unrelated. So, what then is the basis for a gezeira of not, of if you touch truma, you will pass it, which is certainly not a din of sugya. My time goes to bear upon a tuma. But it's very simple. Suppose this guy's a kohen, okay? He's eating ochlin tumeim. Of course, no problem. You're allowed to eat ochlin tumeim. But he's got a little bit of wine, which is truma. Thinking that he's already swallowed his ochlin tumeim, or forgetting for a moment he's got ochlin tumeim in his mouth, he takes a drink from Mashkin of Truma and puts it into his mouth for Shadi Lepume. The moment that he puts it in his mouth, it comes in contact with Oakland Tameim, which passed the Truma. But that's an issur d'oraita, because we learn out from Mishmeret Trumotai that you are mechuyev to be Shomer Truma b'tahara. In order to avoid your coming into such an issur, we were gozer that you shouldn't be able to touch Truma at all. Therefore, the moment that you eat Oakland Tameim, you're not going to have a glass of wine of Truma. And that will avoid this kind of problem. And therefore, he would pass the Truma by touching it. And what would be the basis of the other Gezerah? That someone who's drinking Mashkin Tameim, why were the Rabban and Gozer Tuma there? My Tama goes away, Rabban and Tuma? But the same thing, the inverse. Let's say a guy was drinking a cup of wine that was chulin. And there he is drinking his Mashkin Tameim. And he also has a piece of bread in front of him, which is Oakland of Truma. And now he puts the bread into his mouth as he's drinking the wine, Vishadi Lapume Apostle. He's going to pass on the Truma and be over on Bishmeret Trumotai. Understand? That's the same thing. What's the matter with you? Why are you listing that as two Gezeras? What's the difference? Which goes first? I know how. No, it isn't, you see, because normally, I mean, unless you're a Starbucks person, but normally people eat and then they drink. People aren't drinking and eating in the middle of their drinking, unless it's part of our culture. So we would think it's not shliach. The Rabbanu wouldn't have been gozer such a thing. Therefore, to say I'm drinking mashkin and now I'm going to put something in my mouth while I have mashkin in my mouth, not even swallow, I mean, it's weird. That it's not that weird. And the Rabbanu goes to both of them. Next case. Somebody gets into a bath. Why in the world would such a person be tummy? My time it goes to be Rabbanu Tuma. Omer of Bibi, Omer of Asi. I'll tell you why, because Betchila Yotovli, Bibi Maharot, Bechunasim, Uzruchim. People used to be who would go to the mikveh and the rova. And that it was pretty bad news. It's not that bad. So the cave by Shmuelanovi, the Arizal's mikveh, things weren't all that clean. That's not now, that's not the Arizal's mikveh. So it would just be terrifying to go in there. Terrifying. Oh, scorpions and bugs all over the place. It was horrifying. Not to mention that the water was 20 below zero. Super cooled water. And the moment you would come out, you were covered in ice, you know. Yeah. Anyway, volume notes. Nima, so of course, as soon as they got out of this filthy mikveh, so obviously they would take a shower, they would pour my juvium on them, or they would take a bath. So now they made them permanent. We'll see what that means in a moment. Because of that, they have to be gozer aleihem tuma. What do you mean they made them permanent? What was that supposed to be? My keva. On Rabbi, well, because people used to say, you know, if you don't get a shower after you come out of the mikveh, you're not tall. Shoyomrim lo elumitarium ela elu ve elumitarium. Omale Rava, so what's wrong if you take a shower? If you go there, not to take a shower? My nafkamina. As long as people go to the mikveh, so they take a shower. It's not the end of the world. Katava Bahanach, you have it wrong, says Rava. Elam Rava, no, on the contrary. They used to say, you know what, it must be the clean part that makes me tar. That first part is just an ancient kind of ritual. I'm not going to go into that filthy stuff. So lo elamitarin, elamitarin, that's the chat. Because of that, we couldn't allow them to keep doing the showers, because it's so easy to get confused. V'tahar she'nafla roshav rubo, shalosh shalugi mayim she'uvim. And why would they go through an Adam tahar? My time goes to be Rabbanu. You see, clearly there seems to be a distinction between going into a bath or between having something poured on you. There is no reason for this gezerah. It's just that there'd be no way that we could actually sustain a gezerah only for people that had gone to the mikveh that day. I mean, if they don't see that there's an impact of mind shuvim on you, then they're not going to take that gezerah seriously.
Someone told me they say I should take a shower after going to the mikveh because it's also severe. I mean, that's the main basis to that.
Very little. Obviously, the reason that one goes to the mikveh is nothing to do with the level of tumah of pasim and truma. You go to the mikveh for takanas ezra, not for. I mean, that, who cares whether your tummy to be pasim or truma after going to the
mikveh? Okay, so does it apply?
It applies. Somebody takes a shower, it will be tummy for touching truma. You have any truma in your house? All right. The sefer by taiva gozer by rabban and tuma. Why would the rabban and gozer tuma on a sefer Torah? What does that mean? It's terrible, no? A sefer Torah touches truma. The truma is nifsal. Boy, that sounds weird. Omra misharsha. It's a protection for the sefer Torah. Shebetchila ayum atzniin et ochli the truma. It's a sefer Torah. Used to be these weirdo kohanim, you know. So they would take the truma
And they would put it next to a Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh. They would say, this is Kodesh and that's Kodesh. What better place to be Shomer the Truma but right there next to the Sefer Torah? And of course, what happened is the rats followed the Truma. Once the rats followed the Truma, they already figured, why not have a nibble on the Sefer Torah? So even the Kachazur, the Ka'asuri, the Pseda, when they saw that it was being Matsi, the Sefer Torah, this kind of thing, Kachazur be'Rabban Tum'ah, this way nobody's going to put something that's Matami next to Truma, and because of that they would keep the Truma away from a Sefer Torah, and that's what we needed to get them used to. Sometimes believing something is Kodesh is a bad idea, and therefore we'll make the Sefer Torah Tame. That'll teach them. And what about Yadayim? Why would a gozer that Yadayim without Netilat Yadayim should be Tame? That's because Yadayim are askaniyotin. Hands are very busy. They're always touching things like faces and ruining acne. Or they're touching places in the body that ought to be covered and are covered. And anyway, because of that, they get dirty. You touch Truma, that's disgusting. And somebody who sees you touching a Truma with unclean hands won't eat the Truma. So you're going to be mopsed at the Truma. Rashi says people told him that it was because they're askaniyot and they'll come to touch something tame. But if they'll touch something tame, says Rashi, then their whole body will be tame. So what good is, first of all, what good is the tilat yadayim? You'll need to go to a mikvah to touch Truma. And why would we only be gozer if the hands touch it? And what if your ear touches it? It's the same thing. Your whole body is tame. Therefore, it must be a problem of cleanliness and not of Tuma. And of course, that would mean that a number of these gezerot have to do with cleanliness as opposed to the issue of Tumah per se. So because of that, we don't want people to be disgusted about Truma. That's part of the shmira of Truma, that it should be edible. And therefore, we were gezer stam yadayim to pass of Truma. Therefore, you want to touch Truma, you're going to have to go wash your hands, and then you can touch Truma. And it adds in the braita, Tana af yadayim haba'ot machmot sefer, posot to touch Truma. You know how bad it is? If your hands touch a Sefer Torah, then you need Netilat Yadayim. In other words, it's one step further as well. And that's Mishum de Rabbi Parnach. The Omer Rabbi Parnach, we made a Gezerah, that the din is that Ha'ochei Sefer Torah Aron, if you hold a Sefer Torah on your bare skin, Nikbar Aron, you'll be buried naked. What? Come on, Aron, Sakadaita, but it's a Chevra Kadisha, puts a mark on the guy, you know. When this guy dies, don't put Takrichan on him. It's crazy. Elam Revizer means Aron, like Adam Rishon. Who told you you're naked, is what the Gemara says. You had one lousy mitzvah, now you don't even have that mitzvah. So Aron means Balum mitzvot. You'll die without any mitzvahs. Not any mitzvahs, because the guy touched the Sefer Torah, and he didn't know he's supposed to take a talit when he's, you know, these guys, they go in there and they pull up the Sefer as they're doing the Galila without touching it with a talis or a handkerchief. That's exactly what we're talking about over here. He's going to lose every mitzvah ever did. That's not, doesn't make sense. No. Elaim aron b'lo otam mitzvah. The mitzvah that he was doing, it's a mitzvah Galila, says Tysus. So he thinks he's doing a mitzvah, making the Galila correct and pulling up the Sefer Torah to be even. He won't have that mitzvah. If he's doing it because he's learning the Sefer Torah, he won't have the mitzvah of limud. Okay, but which of these gezeras came first? I mean, did the gezerah of stam yadayim come first? Or the gezerah of touching a Sefer Torah and then your hands passing truma come first? How goes the bereshit? I mean, it doesn't make sense to say, ilim ha'ah goes the bereshit. You're going to tell me that the stam yadayim gezerah came first. I mean, so if they made that gezerah first, why the heck would they add this gezerah if all yadayim are tame? So why do we need to have a special gezerah of yadayim that touches Sefer Torah? Tosafot says, that's not, what kind of question is that? Here's the case. A guy just got washed his hands, comes from the sink, touches a Sefer Torah, and then has Truma. No, so he doesn't have Stam Yadayim, he just washed Yadayim. So I need to know that touching a Sefer Torah is Batame, irrelevant to whether it's Yadayim or Taurus before. Says Tosafot, that's true. And in fact, Lahalacha would be true. But that's only once we have the Gezerah. For the Rabbanan to make a Gezerah specifically about a case where a guy just finished the Tilat Yadayim and then touched the Sefer Torah is too not shtiach to make a specific Gezerah out of it. Once we made the Gezerah, if we first made the Gezerah for touching a Sefer Torah, that Gezerah, of course, remains extant. And now it would be true that someone who was Noto Yadav and then touched the Sefer Torah would, in fact, need to be Noto Yadav again. Elahach goes to Bereisha. Clearly they made the Gezerah on the Sefer Torah first, and then they were going through that all Yadayim are considered to be to me. Okay, and then you said the Tful Yom. Now that makes no sense. The Tful Yom, that's a pasuk in the Torah. What do you mean it's Yudches Dvorim? It says, Uba HaShemesh V'Tahar. A person who was Tomei He goes to the mikveh, he still is not tahor. He has to wait until Baal Shemesh, until the sun sets. And the achar yochal me'akadashim, only afterwards does he eat truma. You're right, sorry. Samimi kam tvuyom, sorry, cross that out. Tvuyom doesn't belong in there. We got confused. We mentioned it all together because we're listing the things that pass on truma. But it's true. It's not one of the Yurchas Dvarim, obviously. Okay, so to continue the Yurchas Dvarim, ha'ochlin shenitmu b'mashkin. Now that's very opaque. Food stuff that became tummy through mashkin. What mashkin? The mashkin demai. Mashkin that had themselves come in contact with the sheretz, which would mean the sheretz is an avatuma. The mashkin is now a rishon the tuma. A rishon the tuma is metame the diorita. That's diorita, you know. It says beferish in the Torah. V'chol mashka sher yishateh. This is, of course, talking about a case where something was inside of a tanur that had a sheretz in the tanur, and now that mashkin in the tanur is going to become tameh, even though the mice in that particular pasuk is talking about mashkin that become tameh as a sheni, because the tanur first has to be kabel tuma from the sheretz, it becomes a rishon, it doesn't fill it up, and then the tanur is batame whatever is in it, so now the mashkin will be a sheni, but still we make a kabel chomer that the sheretz will be metame the mashkin directly, so that's a diorita. Yeah, sorry, no, that's not what the Yud Ches Tovar is. We're talking about mashkin that touch your stam yadayim. Now that's a finish. If you're mashkin, touch your yadayim, say, well, I mean, my yadayim don't even betane the truma, only path on the truma. So now if my yadayim touch something else, so now that something else can path on the truma. That sounds far-fetched. Yes, that's a special gezerah. Why? Because people get confused about types of mashkin. So since there are mashkin that are metame, and that is mashkin about imach mat sheret, because of that we parceled truma that come in contact even with yadayim that came in contact, with mashkin that came in contact with stam yadayim. And Tosis points out that we do have a general gezerah, which is that kol haposelat truma metameet hayadayim to become a rishon anyway, and therefore it would pasul truma, to become rather pasul truma. Tosfos says this is that gezerah. There were two separate gezerot. In other words, this case of mashkin boim machmat yadayim really means mashkin boim machmat anything which pasul truma. And they extended this because of mashkin boim machmat sherets. The next case you had was kalim that were nitmu b'mashkin. Again, I don't understand which mashkin, because mashkin boim machmat sherets cannot be metame anything. No, I mean, well, what were these mashkin? What were they tamei from? Are we talking about real mashkin tamei dioraita, which can make even a kli tamei? That, of course, would only be the mashkin of a zov, the spit of a zov, the urine of a zov, whatever. That is able to be matame kaling. That's dioraita, you know. The tivich yaroka zav b'tahor, if a zov spits on someone. And we darshan mashkin b'yator, even what the Torah is carrying is tamei. We don't really need that drush here. It's enough to know that the mashkin is matame a person, to allow us to understand that we're talking about an avatuma, but fine. L'rafkata, the milta, we're talking about kalim over here, so even the clothing that the person would be wearing, which are kalim, would be tamei. So certainly we can't be talking about mashkin azov to include in the yudchet dvarim, that's a dioraita. Ela b'mashkin ha'ba'imach matsheretz, the finishes. Then mashkin atatra sheretz, which are really tamei dioraita, but can certainly not be matami kalim, because kalim only mekabel tumah from an avatuma, and anything that is drinkable, and that's the reason that it's tummy, because it came in touch with something, it's never an avatuma. But gezerah mishum mashkin dizav, we do have a gezerah, since there are such things as liquids that are really tummy dioraita to be matami kalim, therefore we could extend our din in the yudchet davar to even kalim that touched mashkin tmeim that had been tummy as rishon from a sheretz, which is an av, and that itself, if you put truma into such a kli, the truma will become nifsa. But I got a problem over here. This story it says over here was that they had Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel and they took a vote and everything. But that isn't true. We know that Yadayim is not a gezerah of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Yadayim was Tamidei Shammai and Hillel Gezer. I thought Shammai and Hillel themselves were gozer on the Yadayim, the Tanya. Yosi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzreda. The Yosi ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim. Very early on in history, were gozru tuma al eretz ha'amim. They were gozru that people that go into chutz la'aretz become tamei. And this, even though perhaps the kvarot of Akum are not Metame, but that's the oil, but they are Metame. They come in contact with Tumah, and the Goyim revel in Tumah, actually. It's part of their churches and so on. And because of that, we actually were gozer. Look, you never know what you're coming into touch with when you walk around there. You know, you're thinking you're walking through Rome, you're really walking through a charnel house. And therefore, anybody who goes there becomes Tame. And they were also gozer on Kli Zchuchit. Initially, the Torah never discusses Kli Zchuchit, but in Roman times, that became very popular. And therefore, they were gozer that Kli Zchuchit or Mekabel Tuma. Shimon ben Shetach was mitaken ketubah leisha. Now, ketubah really, per se, is something that appears in the Torah, actually, the Mara Betulot. But he was gozer that all property remained mishu'ubadim for a ketubah. Because it used to be that they would set aside a bank account, and that would make it very easy when you're angry to just say, okay, take your ketubah, here's the keys, out you go. And because of that, since the whole point of a ketubah is to strengthen marriages, he changed the noah. And he was gozer tuma even on metal kalim. Later on, the Gemara says, what are you talking about, metal kalim? That's the diorita tuma. And we're going to see that this is a gezeira that even when you melt down a metal kalim and reform it, there are times when it's broken, it loses its tuma. When it's melted, it loses its tuma. It's called tuma yishana, which we'll get into. It goes back to its tuma as a gezeira. And that would mean, and here's the piece that's important, Shammai ve'ilal, gozer tuma layadai, which would mean we don't need to wait to the Yotchet Varim, where we have the Talmidim of Shammai ve'ilal. Ve'chi teima, maybe you'll say, that doesn't mean Shammai ve'ilal. It means Shammai and his Talmidim, Hillel and his Talmidim. No, because Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, you know those Yotchet Varim? First of all, you got to know that those Yotchet Varim, the Gezerot, were all Yotchet Varim of Machlokas. It was bitter fighting about this. They did not agree. And if they did not agree, that would mean if Hillel and Shammai were there, then we've got a problem. Because Hillel and Shammai, it's impossible to say that there were 18 things that they didn't agree with on that day. Because Hillel and Shammai, lo nefetu ala b'shul Shammai komad. We have only three instances. And don't tell me, well, yeah, besides the 18. No, because Amar Ravuna, b'shul Shammai komad nechlegu v'tu lo. The three places where we mention a machlok, later we're going to ask, but we know of more. Okay, but right for now, the three places which we are aware of are the only places where we have a machlok in Shammai ve'Hillel. Now, if you're going to try to tell me, okay, what's the problem? There might have been two stages in the Gezer of Yadayim. Perhaps Shammai ve'Hillel initially, Atu Inu Gozu Litlot, they didn't want people burning Truma just because it come in contact with Yadayim. So they were gozer, you know what? If your Yadayim touch Truma, we'll treat it as if it's a suffix Truma. You can't burn the Truma, but you can't eat the Truma. Came along now the Talmidim, and they were gozer. No, you're going to burn Truma if you touch them with Yadayim. No, we know that historically that's not true. Because Omar Ilfa says that Yadayim techilat gezeratat lesrefa. It was not a two-stage gezera. Yadayim were always treated as vadai tuma, not as suffik tuma. So that doesn't work. Must be ala atu inu gozer. Actually, Shammai ve'Hillel were gozer. You think just because we have a gezera, that means that people accept the gezera? The din is that a gezera cannot be imposed on a tzibur. And if after 12 months, and we would actually do a survey, if after 12 months people were resentful about this gezerah, they didn't like it, and it seemed weird, people weren't mekabel it, then the gezerah automatically becomes batal. So what happened is that Shammai ve'Hillel made this gezerah, but people thought it was outrageous. V'lo kiblo minayim. It was later where people had become slavish, perhaps, and it was more clear why we would make a gezerah like that. It was more acceptable that we need to be more careful about cleanliness. So when the Talmidim of Shammai ve'Hillel in the Yotchet Varim came along and they were gozer, then we were mekabel the gezerah. Maybe that's historically what happened. But it still does not answer the history of the gezerah on Yadayim. Because Akate Shlomo Gazar, we have a Kabbalah, that Shlomo HaMelech was gozer on Yadayim. The Amar Rabbi Yonah Amar Shmuel, B'sha'ah Shetiken Shlomo, Eruvin, when Shlomo came along and he made the takana, in which there needed to be Eruvei Chatzerot, this is referring to, and he treated different Rishuyot, where you have different people that are using a Chatzer, he said, no, you want to carry from a complete personal Rishutayachli to the Chatzer, you need to make an Eruv. And then he also made a takana on Yadayim, forget about the Tilat Yadayim, Yadayim, as the Masha fixes it, Erevin v'yadayim, yatzta bat kol v'amra, that's when a bat kol came out and said, at last we have a full tikkun of the way Dovid HaMelech felt always that nobody had really taken him seriously enough. And of course, the Shekhinah itself was sameach. There's two levels to the pasuk. B'ni im chacham libecha, yismach libi gamani. Chacham b'ni v'samach libi v'yashiva chorpi davar. Those who insult me all the time. Remember, we had the beginning of Brachot. Poor David had to be mityaitz with Mipi Borshet. So anyway, Basco came out. This is a fantastic idea, a wonderful gezerah. So obviously, there must have been an earlier gezerah of Yadayim that did not require not Shammai Ve'Hillel and not Talmidei Shammai Ve'Hillel. So I'd explain that. No, that I can explain. Ata Shlomo Gazar LeKodashim. Remember, I mean, we're only talking Yudkes Dvarim in terms of Pasman Truma. What Shlomo HaMelech was gozer was part of the whole Beit HaMikdash thing, in which there we start being makpid very much for Malot of Kedusha. So Shlomo was gozer that Yadayim will pasel Kodashim, but not Truma. Otu Inu comes along Shammai Ve'Hillel, they were gozer for Truma, they weren't Makabalit. And then the Talmidim came along the Gazur af Truma. And therefore, we now have the complete history of three stages of Yadayim, now understood. Shmona asar davar gazro to ayo. Mind you, shmona asar davar ditzna. Eo posidenta truma. Ochel ochel rishon, ochel ochel sheni, vashoter mashkin tmeim, vabar yershover vrubo b'mayim shuvim, vitar shenafu aroshav vrubo shlosha lugi mayim shuvim, v'asefer, b'nieni sifrei ha-kodesh, v'yadayim, hatfoyom, v'ha-ochlim, v'ha-kelim, shenitbu b'mashkin. Now, mantana, ha-ochel ochel rishon, v'ha-ochel ochel sheni, mifso pasli, but are not t'muya lo metame. Omer Rabba Barba Karma, well, that's only Rabbi Yeshua, not Rabbi Eliezer. It's not Rabbi Eliezer on there. Ha'ochel ochel rishon rishon, va'ochel ochel sheni sheni. Ochel shlishi shlishi. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, ha'ochel ochel rishon, va'ochel ochel sheni sheni. Shlishi sheni lekodesh, but ain't sheni lechuba. Where do we have ochel shlishi? Chulin shenaz v'atar zachuma. Ochel ochel rishon v'ochel ochel sheni. My time goes away, Rabbanu Tuma. The zim and the ochel ochelin to be in v'shakyo mashkin the truma v'shadi lepume upasaluhu. And what's the reason for shotei mashkin to be in my time goes away, Rabbanu Tuma? Same thing basically. Zim and shotei mashkin to be in shakyo ochelin the truma v'shadi lepume upasaluhu. So, I don't get it. So I know how. No, because by the time mashkin aloshkin, after you both, kabashula. Habaro shover above and mayim shuvim. My time goes a bit of honor to Mamra Bibi Amra Vasi. Shabit Hila Yutovlim Bimim Mearot Bechunasim Usruchim. Are you not Imalay and mayim shuvim? It's Hilu Vasum Keva. So therefore, Gazrael and Tumor, my Keva. Amra Bayo, Yomra Blo Elamitarim, Ela Ela Elamitarim. Amra Rabba, so what's so bad about that? I mean, at least Katavi Bahanach. Elam Aravash Ayonim Lo Elumitarim Ela Elumitarim. Vitarsh and Aflora Roshover Bashlashalogimayim Shuvim. My time goes better about Antuma. Diloha, look, I know. And what about a Sefer? My time goes better about Antuma and Msharsha Shivit Chila. You might see in the Ochle to Shuma. It's a Sefer Torah of Amru. Hi Kadesh, hi Kadesh. Given the Kachos of the Gatik, the Deep Seda, goes a better about Antuma. Ayadayin, that's Biplish Ayadayim as Kaniote. Tana afaya daima baot machmot sefer posota tachuma, mishum de rebi parnach, kamer rebi parnach, kamer rebi yochanan, aoche sefer Torah, aron, nikbar aron, aron so kadaita, elam rebi zera, aron below mitzvot, below mitzvot so kadaita, elema aron below ta mitzvah, high goes operation. Ilema goes operation, sekivan da high goes operation, tulomali, stam yadaim or metame. Elahar goes a beresh with the Sefer Torah. What goes a bekulo yadayim? Tvuyom, tvuyom, tvuyom diorayto. Dechiv uba Hashem shvatar. Yes, sami bikan tvuyom. Ochlin shenitbu b'mashkin. Mashkin to mine. You know mashkin aboy machmat sheretz. That's a diorayta. Dechiv achom mashkeh shishate. Elu mashkin aboy machmat yadayim. Gezeira mishu mashkin aboy machmat sheretz. Hakelim shenet mu b'mashkim, kelim dit mu b'mashkim d'may. Inim b'mashkim d'zav. You're right, Aninu. Chivichorok ha-zav b'tahor, even mash b'yator, timeti lecha. Ela mashkin abayim, machmat sheret, u'gizera mishum, mashkin d'zav. V'yadayin tamidi v'shamei v'ilgos v'shamei v'ilgos v'tanya Yosi ben Yosef yishtreit ava Yosi ben Yochanan yish Yerushalayim gozru tumal eretz ha'amim v'akli zechuchit Shimon ben Shetach tiken ketubah l'isha v'gazar tumal kli matachot shamei v'ilgos v'tumal ha'yadayin V'chitim means Shammai v'siyato, Hillel v'siyato, and they were there at the time of Yudchet Tavar. V'yom Rav Yerom Shmuel Yudchet Tavar gazru, u'b'yudchet Tavar nechleku, v'ilu Hillel v'shammai lo nechleku lo b'shlosha mekamot, and Yom Rav Unam b'shlosha mekamot nechleku v'tulo, v'chitim o'otu inu gazru l'tlot, v'otu tamidayo v'gazru l'srof, ha'omar ilfa yadayim t'chilat gezeratam was always l'srefa. It must be Otu Inu Gozru Velo Kiblu Minayu. Otu Tamidayu Gozru Vekiblu Minayu. So what? But it doesn't answer the history. Akati Shlomo Gazar. The Omer of Yerom Shmo Besha'ashi Tiken Shlomo Eravin Viadayim Yatz Tabat Kovam Rabni Im Chacham Libecha Yismach Libi Gamani And Chacham Bini Vesamach Libi Vyashiva Cholpi Davar. True. But Ata Shlomo, he was Gozer for Kachim, came along out to Inu, because of the Truma.
Daf Yudalit, Masechet Shabbat. And we're up to the part of the Mishnah, it says, Shmoneh Esrei Davar Gazru Oto Hayom. So in the Aliyat Hananya Bechizkiya, they had a boat, Talmidei Beit Shammai Rabu, and there were Gozer 18 things, and we already learned some of them, because the Be'elu means that the Ein Polin Lein Korin was part of the Yudchet Davar. Shmonasrei Davar Gazru Oto Hayom. Mind you, Shmonasrei Davar. So what are the 18? Let's start with 9 that are mentioned here in the Sefer Zavim. It's 9. Elu Poslim Et HaTruma. The following things pass on Truma. Now let's get a little bit of an introduction to this, once again to remember the main halachot. Basically, we know that the Tzad the Dioraita and Adam can be Makabel Tuma only from an Avha Tuma. The same is true of Kelim. The only time that you can be an Avha Tuma is touching a bait, or Tuma that's Yotze Migufo, which is like a Zav, a Balkari, could be an Avha Tuma. Or it's possible to become an Avha Tuma also Benogea B'Moshav, the Moshavos of the Zav and so on. The Moshav itself can be Matami. As even as an opportunity in certain cases. Generally speaking, there's no such thing, therefore, as being Makabel Tuma from a Rishon or a Sheni and so on. However, we know that there were certain Gezerot in which we were Machmir even to be Matame, Odom, and Kalim with Mashkim. And the reason that we had those Gezerot are because there are Mashkim that can be Matame. For instance, Mayanot HaZav. So the Zav spits on you. Be Matame. The question is, the cases where we were machmer were cases where it would easily come to be matami truma, as we'll see. And therefore, we're going to list some of those gezerot. Now, furthermore, there's no such thing as a special case of achila, eating something tamei. The only time that we find that there's a unique situation of eating, and this turns out to be the basis of a lot of gezerot, because we can't create gezerot utilizing modalities or ideas that don't come from somewhere in the Torah. You can't make up a new idea that an achila can be matami unless we find such a thing. Mm-hmm. Now there is one case in which specifically achila is matami, and that's Nivlot Otoha. Because of that, we're able to also create a modality of tuma specifically through achila. Not that it has anything really to do with achila. There were two levels to that gezerah. One was an ancient takana that comes way before the time of the Shmoneh Esrei Davar, as Tosis proves, which was called Tum'at Gviya. Tum'at Gviya meant that a person who had eaten foods that were Tomei of a certain level, so we had the Sugi back in Kulim, it was considered to him that he was Tomei in terms of Achilat Truma. He became Tomei from eating Truma. That's not what we're going to discuss here, and the Shiur of Achil over there, the din of Pras, Chatz Pras, as opposed to Kibesha and so on, is unique to Tum'at Gviyot. We're talking about over here maga, the zerot in which a person is metane truma the maga midrabbana. So what are these 18 things we have over here in the Mishnah? The following things are posavas truma, meaning that if he touches the truma, again the rule is that if you're talking about food of chulin, chulin is only makabel truma. The food would be makabel truma, obviously from an abatuma, would be makabel truma from a rishon the truma. But a sheni latuma doesn't affect chulin at all. It's a regular chulin. it is possible to create a situation where the chulin is treated like truma, and according to some like kodesh, that's called chulin shenasu ha'tara truma, chulin shenasu ha'tara ha'kodesh, so that people who were makbid on achilas kodesh and achilas truma would also take care to keep their chulin on the same level of tahara. You can't do that arbitrarily and have the chulin respond. There needs to be a psak halacha that defines the particularities of the way that the ochel will be makabel or not makabel truma, if you are noheg that way. Not everyone agrees that there exists a takana called chulin shenasu ha'tara ha'kodesh. But assuming that it does, then you would treat it in many ways like kodesh. Chulin shenasu ha'tara is truma. The simplest case of which would be a case where you are going to actually take truma out of it. Now, let's say you made a dough. Now you're going to be taking out challah from that dough. You want to treat the entire isah as if it's the challah that is in it, because if you don't, then when you take out the challah, you're taking out the challah that's tamei. So you're careful that it shouldn't touch. So you're, since your das is to take out challah from it, you're already makbid on the level of truma, of tuma that would affect truma.
It's not just the kohen who would do that.
Right, not necessarily. Okay, whatever the case is, for whatever reason, used to be hakpar in general, that people were very makbid to eat tyrus. And because of that, there were even regular people would eat even their stam chulin and not taras hakodesh. Now the question is, truma, however, is more chomer than chulin, and it can be makabel tuma from a sheni. But when we say to be makabel tuma from a sheni, it's not quite accurate, because remember that the word tuma by definition means something that emits something that can be detected. In other words, tuma is something that a tuma receptor will touch it, will become tuma. But the din is that something that is makabel tuma from a sheni, the truma that's makabel tuma from a sheni, will never emit that tuma. And therefore, by definition, it's not tame. Because you can't detect tuma in it. But the thing is that the fact that it touched tuma makes it pasul. So that's called pasul as opposed to tuma. But it's a psul that comes from the negia betuma. And it's important to distinguish between the two. So by definition, when we use the word pasul, it means that's where it stops. When we use the word tameh, it means that under certain circumstances, this can be emitted to yet a lower level. Each time, it's attenuated. Now, there's one case in which there's not only no attenuation, but there's also even an increase in tuma. And we'll see why we did that. Obviously, that's only exerid rabbanim. Such thing is impossible with yuraita. You can't possibly increase the level of tuma. But what you can do is, if you touch mashkin, we made a takana that mashkin always become rishon. So even if, as long as they're shayach to being makabel tuma from whatever touched them, they will now turn into a rishon tuma midrabbana. Furthermore, we also made takanas in certain cases, which we already saw back in Brachot, in the dinim of the Seuda. We already made takanot that in certain cases, a kli will be makabel tuma from mashkin. And again, since there are mashkin that really can be makabel, can be matamiya kli, like mashkin hazot and so on. This is not an impossible modality. The Chachamim therefore utilize it in order to create certain gezerot for whatever reason. It doesn't have to be a relationship between the modality of truma and the reason, tuma and the reason for the tuma. But we certainly need to have some pathway of making gezerot. You can't create something out of whole cloth. You need to know that tuma is emitted in this fashion. So now comes along the Shmonasrei Dover to tell us that someone who eats an ochel rishon, so the correct way to say it is ha'ochel, which is the verb, ochel, which is the noun, ha'ochel, ochel rishon, ha'ochel, ochel sheni, so someone who eats ochlin, which are themselves have been makabel tuma now from an av, and they become a rishon tuma, or he eats, and again, he's eating chulin, because chulin can be a sheni, in that it's makabel, a tuma from a rishon, it just can't be possible as a shlishi. So he eats a ochel sheni, or hashotem mashkin tmeim, he drinks mashkin that are tamei on any level. Here we don't have to distinguish which are rishon sheni, because mashkin are always rishon. So mashkin tmeim, these people are going to be posel satruma b'maga. So entirely aside from sukviya, which is an isra vachilat truma, under the similar circumstances, there's a new gezerah in the yudches dvarim that these three people, these are three of the cases, will be matame the truma b'maga. And not really matame, but as the Mishnah introduces it, poslin is a truma b'maga. In other words, that truma can't emit that tuma, even if it's in contact with something that would be able to be makabel tuma from a shlishi, such as kodesh. The shlishi, which is truma, is not tame, and therefore it will not be matame kodesh, because it's only poslin. Another case that they were gozer, and we're going to discuss the reason for these gezerot of yudches dvarim in a moment. Habar oshel v'rubo b'mayim she'ulim. Someone who went to the mikvah, and it was then went into pools. And he basically wanted to get clean after not get a filthy mikvah. But if he goes into a pool of mayim shu'uvim, he then becomes tameh. So he would have to go back and he'll pass a truma. So if his intent in this tefillah was to become tameh for truma, it's not going to do him very much good to go into a pool. He's going to have to go into a mikvah. Someone who was tahor and didn't go to a mikvah, this is the fifth case, someone who was tahor and didn't go to a mikvah, but happened to take a shower. Nafla roshav rubo shoshu lugim mayim shu'uvim. So three lugim of mayim shu'uvim that are poured over him, he becomes tameh. Again, we'll see why. A sefer, and that is any one of the kitvei hakodesh that touches truma, is metame the truma, possible truma, not really metame, but the truma now becomes unsuitable for afiyah. The hayadayim, and this is now hands in general, stam yadayim. So any hands that you don't haven't washed now to make certain that they remain tar from the last metilah, those yadayim are going to possible truma. The Hatful Yom, which is strange because the Tful Yom is a Din D'oraita, and the Gemara is going to say the Tful Yom is not to be included here in the list of the Yudkat Tzvarim. It's only included here because, in fact, the Tful Yom passes through. The Mishnah is talking about a Lukos Limata Truma. Doesn't necessarily mean everything in the Mishnah is one of the Yudkat Tzvarim, but in terms of Yudkat Tzvarim, forget about Tful Yom. Ha'ochlin v'hakelim shenitim uba mashkim. And again, you may have over here mashkim that would not have been able D'oraita to passel something, but nonetheless, they created with the Yudkes Dvarim a situation where food that comes in touch with Oakland that has been turned into a Rishon, or even with Kalim that normally can't be Makabal Tuma from a Rishon, none that we saw before back in Brachot, there's such a thing as a Shulchan Sheni, which doesn't make sense. That could be a Shulchan Sheni. Right? Are you allowed to have to use a Shulchan Sheni to eat on? It was a Makabal about whether you put your wet paper down or your wet napkin on the shulchan on the chair. How do you have a shulchan sheni? There's no such animal in your item. However, because of the Yudkei Dvarim, where kalim can be makabel tuma from mashkim, there exists now such a concept. Okay, so we have over here nine cases, and these nine cases we're going to discuss first before continuing, because they all come from this Mishnah. Man tana ha'ochel ochel rishon v'ochel ochel sheni nifsel pasle t'muyeh lo metam. First, we'd like to make certain that we understand who is the Tana that says that someone who eats, whether a Rishon or a Sheni, will only passel Truma, and he will not be able to be Metame Truma. Because you might think that there's a difference between Ochel Rishon and Ochel Sheni. And Ochel Sheni, I understand. If he becomes now, so to speak, a conductor of the Ochel Sheni, I understand why he only passels Truma. But is there something that's troubling us over here? The reason it's troubling us is because we know that Tumat Gviyat makes a serious difference according to Maman Yom. What's troubling us is that it seems to be Maman Yom. If you view the person who's eating something, that the way in which we make the Gzeira is that he becomes the equivalent of the food that he's eating. Because that's what you're saying. If he eats a Sheni, he's still Pasul Trum. So, but if that's the case, if he eats a Rishon, he should be Matami Trum. And if you're telling me that he doesn't express what he ate, but he goes down one level, then if he eats the Yoko Sheni, he shouldn't Pasul Truma either, because you can't Pasul Truma if you're less than the Sheni that you ate. Here, we're asserting in this Mishnah that whether you ate Ochel Rishon, or whether you ate Ochel Sheni, you're still going to Pasul Truma and not be Matanah Truma. Now, who is the Mandi Omar who says this strange combination? Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, it's going according to Rabbi Yoshua. That's none. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ochel Ochel Rishon Rishon, V'Ochel Ochel Sheni Sheni. Oh, now that makes more sense. Here we're saying that actually the Gezerah, there's a Gezerah on the body of the person who eats, his body becomes essentially an expressor of what he ate. So if he ate Rishon, his body becomes a Rishon, in which case he would be Metame Truma, in which case the Truma would become a Sheni, and he could then be Pasol in other Truma to be a Shlishi, if you hold it Ochel or Metame Ochel, which itself is a machlok. If he eats a sheni, so he now becomes an emitter of sheni, in which case he can only pass a truma. If he eats ochel shlishi, he becomes a shlishi. Now the shlishi is not nogea truma at all, because truma will not be makamal even psul from a shlishi, but it is nogea kachim. So kachim that is nogea but shlishi becomes now a psul as a revi, so to speak. So it exists a concept of a revi which is possible for kachim. Rabbi Yoshua Omer. So this clearly is against the Mishnah we just read. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, there is a big difference between an Ochel Ochel Rishon and an Ochel Ochel Sheni. But Rabbi Yoshua Omer, and this is why Rabbi Bar Bar Chana identified the Tana of our Mishnah as Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Ha'ochel, Ochel Rishon, the Ochel Sheni, is a Sheni. And strangely enough, if he eats Ochel Shlishi, he becomes a Sheni. Which is really weird. And of course, the Gemara analyzes why this is true, and we had it in Chulin, and says again, what's the modality for such a thing? The modality for such a thing is that it's possible to be chozer, to make something tameh as a lower level of tumah by a higher type of tumah through mashkin. Because if you could be matame mashkin, the mashkin would go up to a rishon. The mashkin goes up to a rishon, and it would be nogeya b'trumah. It would make the trumah a sheni. So therefore, we give the person who eats, according to Rabbi Yeshua, the same dinim that we would have had in his ability to be metame, as if he's being metame through mashkin. Again, these are not our sugyas, so it's not that important to get into the, we had this in Kulin, to get into the details of the machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua and Eliezer. But indeed, the Gemara goes through in detail exactly these questions, which they argue with each other and say how illogical and inconsistent the other's positions are. And each one explains why it is that he reached these particular conclusions. So he becomes a sheni lekodesh if he eats ochel shlishi alibed Rabbi Yoshua, but ein sheni letruma. I mean, he said in that case he certainly didn't go up vis-a-vis truma, and he becomes, as far as truma is concerned, he's completely tahor if he eats ochel shlishi. And the question is, how did he eat ochel shlishi? Since there's no such thing as ochel shlishi. Now, of course, we could have said that he ate truma that was shlishi, but we don't want to say that because that's an iser. You know, we always look for a way of explaining something which it's normal and acceptable. I mean, how did a person come to eat ochel shlishi? Ah, by eating chulin shenasa taras truma. What it's telling us, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yoshua, is that he holds that there's such a thing as chulin shenasa taras truma, in which case it was your chumra to treat your chulin with the dinim of truma, and therefore that chulin enters into a set of chulin which the Rabbanan gave dinim of truma to. But obviously they didn't give dinim of Isurim to. They only gave dinim of Kabbalah's Tuma to. So, you're not doing anything wrong in eating it. And they say, you became Tameh. I say, okay, the heck with it. What's the point of keeping my Chulin Batayra? I'm anyway Tameh. So then you eat your Chulin, and then it's Tameh. Okay, so you ate it. We'll see. We'll see when we get to the description of the historical events, which we're getting to.
And Rabbi Yeshua is saying that whether it's Rishon Sheni or Shlishi, we treat him like a Rishon.
No, we treat him like a Sheni.
He treats himself like a Sheni.
He's right? Always treated like a Sheni. For anything. Mm-hmm. Except where it's not Nogea, so such as by truth.
Well, for Rishon or for Sheni, Sheni means that he's the Sheni, not
correct.
The Rishon.
He's a Sheni. Okay? Now, let's get into the explanation for why we would do these weird things. So, ochel, ochel rishon, ochel, ochel sheni. My time goes to be Rabban and Tuma. Why were we gozer Tuma, that such an individual could be metame truma b'maga? The reason we did it is because the zinin de'achil, ochel and tume, it's possible for a person to be in a position in which he was eating ochel and tume, figures that he basically, okay, he put it into his mouth, and now, you know, that's done with. Now he picks up a cup of wine of truma, and he drinks his truma. Problem is, of course, Midiraita, if we wouldn't have had this gezeira, what does he care? I mean, tameh food, chulin, doesn't have any impact on me personally. So now, as a kohen, he continues now to drink a cup of wine. A cup of wine is, of course, truma for him. It's where he would get his wine from. So now he drinks mashkin of truma, not realizing that he still has food in his mouth. And it turns up a shari lakume. He now puts that wine into his mouth and ends up parceling the truma in his mouth. Impossible. So in parceling the truma in his mouth, Rashi says he will be over on the din of Mishmer Trumotai. Mishmer Trumotai means he's supposed to be taking care of truma to make certain that it doesn't become possible, which the obvious question is. I mean, Rashi doesn't have to look to Mishmer Trumotai to find a reason for us to make this gezeira. You're not allowed to eat truma that's stomach. So if he's, forget about whether he made the truma tameh, he's drinking this wine. So wine is going to become fossil. Why is Rashi talking about Mishmer truma tameh? All of them, of course, have a difficult, there's a lot of different suggestions to what Rashi is doing over here in throwing in a Mishmer truma tameh. But one very reasonable suggestion is that the shaila of whether Mashkin, or Metamin, is actually a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and others. And Rashi wants to say, I'll leave it at Kuli Alma. This part is true. We don't have to assume that Mashkin are Mitami and Midiraisa. It's my focus on Mashkin, Mitami, over Midiraisa. So even if you're the Mashkin, not Mitami and Midiraisa, there's an ancient Takara that Mashkin would be Mitami and Midirabon. In which case, if, in practical terms, you wouldn't be allowed to utilize this Truma. Mishmeret Truma Tai might mean to make certain that my Truma remains usable by whatever standards you're going to apply. So even if you apply standards that are not usable in the Rabbanan, it's no longer Mishmeret Truma Tai, because bottom line is you're not going to be able to use this Truma. So it would still be a violation of Mishmeret Truma Tai. Okay, that's a possibility again, and it's not directly what we should concentrate on right now. But the fact is, one way or the other, in making that Truma Tame, he's going to be over on an Isser, and an Isser D'Oraita, and therefore, we were gozer that he should never think of drinking a cup of wine of Truma after he ate food which was Tame. Even though D'Oraita, that's not an issue, we've made it impossible for him. He's going to stay away from Truma if he's going to be eating things that are Tame, and therefore he won't come to such a situation. And how come the next case, Shotem Mashkin Tmeim, my time of Gazov Beirabana Tumah. Why did we do the other case in which he's drinking wine that's Tumah, that he can't eat Truma? Why is that? He can't touch Truma. Why is that? Because, same thing, Zimna Deshata Mashkin Tmeim, he might be drinking wine that's Tumah of Chulin, Veshakal Ochle the Truma, and take perhaps some food of Truma, Veshadi Lopume, who possibly would parcel the food of Truma. Now, wait a minute, I know how, but that's. That's the same thing. That's not a separate. You're listening to Yudchet Dvarim. I mean, you're telling me one takana, a guy who has something, ate something tummy in his mouth, whether it's liquid or solid, whatever, we made it clear that he shouldn't come in contact with the liquid or solid. Why is that two different things? It's not the same thing, because you need to take another step in terms of the gezeira, because matatema hashchichi balalo shchichi. It's very common to drink when you're eating. It's not very common to eat when you're drinking. So therefore, perhaps the Chachamim wouldn't have been goes on the first one. Kamashma never goes on this as well. Bahavaro shavru bo b'mayim shuvim. My time of God's better, but
it's possible you can have.
Is it a possibility?
If he has liquid in his mouth.
This is a coffee drinker. Is this part of the problem of drinking tea? Maybe, I don't know. Ask any coffee drinker. He's got it worked out just fine.
So, a certain amount you need a decent amount, you need any little amount.
That's a shaylah, which has some learned is the difference between Tumaskviya and this particular Tumaskviya. How much do we really chayshish you would come with a Tumaskviya? So again, let's leave that. These are complicated enough for a moment, then we'll get a chance to go into them more deeply. And what about this business of taking a bath after going to the mikveh, going into a pool, is that so bad? Omer Abivi, actually, the Shalah says this is to be pronounced Beboi, not Bibi. In modern terms, we not say Bibi, it's just impossible. Omer Rebbe Beboi, Omer Ravasi, Shebetchila, Ayutovim, Bemeim Na'arot, Bechunasim, Musruchim. It was very common in those days for mikvaot to be in cisterns with which the water was really disgusting. And because of that, they would have an arrangement in which there would be a shower. I mean, they didn't have running water for a shower, but they would have this watering can, basically, and somebody would pour afterwards to clean them off. And they started believing in them as part of the process. We'll see what that means in a moment. Therefore, they would go to Tumah then, not to use it, because they were afraid they were going to end up not being tovel properly. When you say they made it keva, what exactly does that mean? My keva. Omrabaya. Shahayu omrim. People came to believe that lo elevatari, ela elev elevatari. That it wasn't the water of the mikveh that was mitair, was the water of the mikveh followed by a shower that was mitair, because that's what they always did. Omale rabba, so, my nafkamina, who cares what they believe? I mean, as long as they first went. They went into the mikveh and then they showered. Is that so terrible? As long as they kept going into the mikveh. Ela amar Rava shayomrim lo elu mitarin, ela elu mitarin. That they came to believe that the mikveh wasn't mitair, but rather dafka, the water of the mayim shuvin, was mitair. Now here there's a big machlokas, how to understand this. I mean, it's very, very strange to say that they came to believe that you didn't have to go into the dirty water, because why did they think they were going into the dirty water? To really appreciate the shower? Was Matayah enough? The shower being the Matayah, but you know, or Nikra, let me talk about Chosha. So get yourself real dirty beforehand. God, it's crazy. How do they come to believe such a thing? What would be the charge of such a thing? So it's interesting that the Rambam's approach seems to be that the problem over here is indeed a problem of belief, and only belief. What is it that they believe? In other words, they held there was a two-part system to Tyre. What was the ikkar of the two-part? Of course, you couldn't be Levatim for some weird reason. Do I know why God has these weird halachas? He said you have to first get dirty before you get clean. But I mean, clearly the cleanliness is of the essence. But if that's the case, then that means that the Kavanah, the Eitat Tefillah, was not on the dirt, which was the real mikvah. Since Legabe, Truma, and Kutchim, you need to have Kavanah, so this would be Mavatel, Tefillah, for Truma and Kutchim. So therefore, they would go, so they're going to be eating Truma and Kutchim. Now you're going to end up in Tome for the Truma and the Kutchim. According to this, there was certainly no such Gezerah, Binogea, anything that doesn't require Kavanah. So, for instance, a woman who's going to the mikvah in order to become tahora for her husband, where there's no need for a kavana of tefillah, that's just a bit of fooling. So what's the difference? What she believes, so fine. So she believes she needs to take a shower. Nothing bad about that. So there would be no problem in showering afterwards. However, Rashi seems to suggest that b'mrutzat hazman, there was this chance that people who came to believe this nonsense that you need a shower may end up, ultimately, building conservative shuls and so on, in which somehow or other it's clear that the Rabbanan actually were telling us that cleanliness is next to godliness, and they gradually were moving people away from the dirt of the Maran. Now that we have such fine swimming pools, we should be total in a swimming pool. So they'll put a swimming pool into the shul and collect money for the mikvah. You never know what these Jews are capable of. The Chachomi, being aware of this mad tendency of Jews to come to these kind of conclusions, ended up answering through creating a tumah. But if that's the case, there's only one sheet that it holds this, but naturally the Ramah focuses in on it for Ashkenazim. And that, according to that, it would mean that the takana was to be mavato, but then of the tefillah of an individual who actually would go and take a shower after the tefillah. So because of that, there came to be those who were machmir, bedavka, not to shower. Now, the process, all of this, these didin, again, are denim only in terms of Tumah of the Tyre. So to say that for Takanat Ezra, for instance, that somebody who wants to be Machmir to be the Tyre himself is a Valkyrie because of the Takanat Ezra. I mean, if you hold like the first sheet, then obviously take a shower, there's no problem taking a shower. Because it's nothing to do with the Tumah of the Tyre, really. It's a special denim carry, which we found in the Kabbalat HaTorah as well. It's not denim for Truman for Kutchin. It's just a special halakha that was made as a parallel to Kabbalat HaTorah.
It's a tumor that's your tumor.
Fine, but again, we don't care about that. Remember, Azov Shirah carry. The same thing. You say, what's the point of being the Tyre's carry if he's Azov? That's not the issue. Same thing. In other words, we're interested in a specific idea. There's a concept of not being a Valkyrie. The question over here, because certainly, again, unless you learned this strange shita, but they certainly didn't say, okay, we're going to turn you back into a Valkyrie again if you went into the shower. They just be gozer, a din of tuma for maga truma, to pass a truma. If you don't intend to pass a truma, there'd be no reason to avoid a shower. Okay, again, there's questions. I mean, the Rav Avadya Yosef obviously is not here for everybody, not even think about this issue. So not Nogea, Isha, Mida, and so on and so forth. And then many are docha, those who are makbid and saying that it's a halacha instead of a din in tuma the tyrant. And certainly in another room, say, let's go out of the mikveh, come home or something, taking a shower there, and nobody's mocking. Although, I must tell you, that the Tosis points out over here, on Amud Beis, that Abarosha Verubo, the Mayim She'uvim, the Tosis says, well, I understand what the point is. If he's anyway just been to the mikveh, so then he's a Tfulion, but the Tfulion would pass over to him in the Yoraita. We're certainly not saying, at any point from here onwards, any time that he's Barosha Verubo, because if so, then what was the case of Tahar Shinafala of Shor Shalukin? What do you mean Tahar? You mean a child who never became Tomei ever? Who takes a shower? Is that what it's referring to? But once a person had once become Tomei, it's been to the mikvah. Now he's going to be together. Note the difference. The Tahar, we only made a Gezerah if it's no fellow of Mayim Shuv, not if he goes into a pool. But someone who just came out of a mikvah, where goes there, even going into a pool. So there's obviously a difference between the two cases. So how do we define somebody who's been to the mikvah? I mean, l'chorah, you mean someone who that day has been to the mikvah. But if you mean in that day, then he's a tzvuyom. So if he's a tzvuyom, why do we need to make a yurtes dover? Therefore, Tosha says we're going to have to say that the point is, and even if it's post-sunset, so he's no longer tzvuyom, but it's the same day in secular terms. So the next day, in other words, is the day in which he becomes now a tohar, even though there's no such concept. And it's a very strange idea. Okay? So, I mean, halacha l'maisa, there are certainly those who you'll notice are makbed, will screen at people who are, why are you taking a shower? There's only a few people have appointed themselves as the shemrim of the mikvah. You know, don't you know you're not allowed to take a shower? And the answer is, no, I don't know, I'm not allowed to take a shower. But again, it's easy to confuse if you didn't hear of tuna to somehow be sort of.
Pittsburgh platform
is the name of the newspaper?
It's the foundation of the newspaper. Now has modern bathhouses, no longer need to make it. As a key part of the great, which is obviously wrong, because if you look at the Roman bathhouses, they were much more sophisticated than the Pittsburgh bathhouses.
That is ironic. You're right. So, okay, so we said Bar Rosh HaMarubo should become now Tamei in terms of Maga, passing through the Maga. Tar Shenafla Rosh HaMarubo Shlosh HaLogimayim Shiva. Now there's no possible reason to justify that. My time goes better, but certainly taking showers at that thing is it? I mean, well, you're right. The only reason that we were gozer that is because the Eloha Lo Kaimaha. Nobody's going to believe us. In other words, if people don't believe that Mayim She'uvim has the power to be Metame on some level, how are they going to take seriously a Gezerah, the Dafka, after you've been to the Mikveh, then it's going to be Metame. That's crazy. So if we make an extended Gezerah, which means even somebody who's Tor has to worry about being in Mayim She'uvim, so then they'll take more seriously our Gezerah. Even though you may be concerned by the fact that it's clearly not the same, because as we pointed out earlier, the guy who's been to the mikveh can't even go into the swimming pool. Was the guy whose tar was on the mikveh yesterday, so to speak, that's the tar. He can go to the swimming pool, he just can't take a shower. Again, so what the Gemara is saying is not that it has to be precisely the same, because as Tosis points out, the idea is what's the norm in which somebody will become tamei after, with this gezeira, after going to the mikveh. The norm was a shower, not a swimming pool. You went to a makam of mayim mechunasim, there was rarely a swimming pool available, but you did have somebody there to pour over you shlosh halugim of mayim shuvim, which was the norm. So we only asked the norm, it only goes there on the norm, and that way people would relate to that norm as being metame. And once that's true, we could already extend it in the mikveh into a swimming pool too. It doesn't mean that a person would have to believe every time he goes to the swimming pool is going to become tamei. Okay, then the other case, really strange. Sefer? I mean, telling me a Sefer Torah would be Metame? Possible Truma? That's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why are we possible Truma? Ah, the reason is, Omer of Mishar Sheshet Batchila Hayu Matzni'im Et Ochum De Truma Eitzel Sefer Torah. They used to so respect Truma that they wanted to keep the Truma safe by putting it next to the Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh. That way, they said to themselves, Hai Kodesh, Hai Kodesh. The Torah calls Truma Kodesh. So therefore, this being, the Sefer Torah being Kodesh, we should make sure that it's in a holy place. And what happens? Of course, having food next to Sefer Torah seems to attract all types of organisms that like food. And once they're feeding on the food, they might find some tasty old skins next to the food. And so, given that Hazar, the Ka'atuli Deik Seda, when they saw that they were getting mice and rats into the Aron Kodesh, and that would ruin the Sefer either by nibbling or by droppings on the Sefer, it would go to their Rabbanan Tumah. In order to protect the Sefer, they wanted to make certain that nobody would put food next to the Sefer. And because of that, they were Gozer Tumah on the Sefer, which is not so pasha, because the Raj says there, doesn't mean the Sefer is Tameh. It means that any Truma that touches the Sefer is Tameh. And why would you think that there's Tuma in the Sefer? Not the point. This has not Kamina, as you say, I'll have to understand the Yadayim that are Nogea of the Sefer. But in any event, the Rabbanim goes there this. The next case we had was Yadayim, Stam Yadayim. Why Stam Yadayim? Mibnei Sha Yadayim Askaniotein. So since hands have a tendency to get all around the body, Therefore, this is how Rashi understands it. We're not talking about a tumah issue. We're talking about a dirt issue. The same reason that you'll wash your hands before eating. You think to yourself, heaven knows what I touched. I don't even remember what I touched. But I don't want to stick it into my mouth. So Mamela, in order to avoid the hefset of truma through being moes the truma by touching it with filthy hands, so therefore we were gozer that your hands have to be natul, and if they're not natulot, so then the truma will become tame. We don't really think seriously there's any truma that's involved. But again, in the same way that the best way to keep you away from the sefer, what are you going to do? You're going to tell Jews, don't put truma next to a sefer. It's prohibited. I'll wrap it carefully. So therefore, you got to appeal to their religious instincts. So you start talking about Tuma. Oh, Tuma, I wouldn't dare put something next to a sacred to be the time of it. Does anybody know what you're going to say? Wash your hands because it's filthy. You have to appeal to their instincts for ritual. So you tell them it's Tuma. And Rashi says, he heard that there's some that are in the Farish that were afraid you're dying. Askaniot means maybe they touched something Tuma. It's not that we're making now a jump just in order to protect the truma from dirty hands, so we'll say the hands are tummy. That's not fair. It must mean that the hands actually touch something tummy. Rashi says it doesn't make sense. If that's the case, you don't know what they touch. Maybe they touch the nabatum also, in which case maybe your body should be tummy. Maybe you should go to the mikvah. I understand what it means that they touch something tummy. Precisely the something tummy, which is going to affect only a daim. What does that mean? That doesn't seem like a consistent gezeira. And besides, so then why would we focus on your daim? If your dying could touch something tummy, they certainly make all of your tummy. So if your toes touch too much at all, where did you have to wash your toes? So therefore, it seems to me, says Rashi, the issue is specifically your dying, because they come in contact with all types of dirt. And to use them directly on truma is unclean. So when it goes here, a tuma, to pretend that tuma has something to do with uncleanliness. It's very much in line with the two previous issues. Uncleanliness being confused with dirtiness in coming out of a mikvah. Pretending that the mice and the rats are really issues of tuma. And the Adayim themselves, according to Rashi, in which the dirt, because of dirt, we now give you a din of tuma. Tana, af yadayim haba'ot machmot sefer, poslot tachuma. Now, a Braita says that yadayim, that touch as a sefer Torah, are also going to pasul truma. Mishum de Rabbi Parnach. The Omer Rabbi Parnach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ochez Sefer Torah Arom, Nikbar Arom. Someone who touches a naked Sefer Torah will himself be buried naked. What is a naked Sefer Torah? You know that we have a mitpachat and a Sefer. So if you need to touch a Sefer Torah, the norm was, of course, to hold the Sefer Torah, you had to hold. They didn't have what we use today in many places, or like the Sfarim. They don't have a rolling device. The rolling device is to move the actual scroll, the parchment. How do you hold that? You have the mitpachat, which in the Sephardic Sefer Torah hangs on the side. You pick up the mitpachat, and you move it. But you never touch the Sefer Torah without its clothing, so to speak. So we're calling that a room. Someone who would touch the Sefer Torah with his bare hands shall be buried naked. Mina genegen mina. A room, salgadaita. I mean, what do you mean literally buried naked? I mean, it seems a little bit, just not appropriate. Because, it's not such a homer issue that we're going to say that should affect his burial and so on. El Omer Bezerah, Aron Belem Mitzvot. It means naked in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Adam Arishon, as Rashi explains. You're Artiloim and Amitzvot. I gave you one mitzvot. And now you don't even have that. Below mitzvot? And you're saying the guy loses all the mitzvot he ever did. That's totally crazy. He's going to die without mitzvot because he once touches the Sefer Torah without mitzvot. No, below Otam mitzvot. In other words, he touched the Sefer Torah for the purpose of doing a mitzvah. He was doing Galila. Or he wanted to learn that daf. He won't get the mitzvah that he did through the disrespect that he had towards the Sefer. So it removes from him the kedusha of the mitzvah that he was doing. This is the way you approach a mitzvah, to treat a Sefer Torah in that fashion. It's that type of thing. So because of this, because Rabbi Parnach was makbid on the touching of the Sefer Torah, they made a gezerah of yadayim that touches Sefer Torah. But not because a Sefer is fossil, that it passes truma, because the tuma is not in the Sefer Torah. Now, the question is, Tosis is bothered by this, because we have a rule that anything that passes truma is also mechayev nechilat yadayim. So what's the point of this additional piece over here? There's a general rule that kol posel is hetru, mizmatame is hayadayin, and you're now going to have to need netilat yadayin. I mean, what it's saying over here is just part of an overall halacha of kol posel is hetru. So I mean, that's true. Kol posel is hetru, mizmatame mashkin, right? So why wouldn't this be true? So Tosfos says that may be a tamdasha because of kodesh. That wouldn't necessarily posel. It's possible to say yadayin liyot shniyos. That's true. But maybe that's dafka le'inyan kodesh. As over here we're saying, even le'inyan truma. That's his chiddush Tosfos. But remember that the question over here is, would we have necessarily thought that the sefer would be metame yadayim if it's only a din on the truma that was nogeya in the sefer? The way in which we affected that particular takana was not to give truma to the sefer. So therefore, if the yadayim touched the sefer, even though the sefer is passed as a truma, would that necessarily be included in the halakha of kol posel hetruma matamei yadayim liyot shniyot? Does the sefer really pass as a truma? Is it just that there's a din that the truma becomes posel afterwards? Okay, that's another possibility. Okay, so we have a particular case about someone who touches a sefer, which is a little strange because we have a din anyway that yadayim are tamei. Why do we need this gezeira of somebody who touches a sefer? Ask the Gemara. Well, which one of these gezeirot came first? I goes aberration. I mean, Ilei Mahal goes aberration. It would be a little bit strange to say the case of the Yudches Dor, namely, Stam Yadayim. They would go to that first, so then Hatu Lamali. Why do I need the case of the hand that touched the sefer if even my hands without touching anything would be Tamei? So that doesn't make sense. Kivan, the Av goes aberration, Hatu Lamali. Elahav goes aberration. Must be that Rebbe Parnak's case was the first gezera, and then they added a gezera afterwards, and hadar gozer b'kulu yadayim. Now the problem is that there's an obvious answer to why we would need Rabbi Parnak, even if we had a gezera of stam yadayim. What's that very obvious answer? Let's say we had a gezera of stam yadayim. Would there be any point in making a gezera that hands that touch a sefer Torah will pass a truma?
Because he washed
the hands exactly. So, somebody who was right now no telling Yadav, so he now got out of the din of Stam Yadayim. He doesn't have Stam Yadayim. He went and he picked up the Sefer Torah and he did Galila, and now he wants to eat Truma. We say to him, no, you can't eat Truma because of Rebbe Parnak. But how can you figure out which one came first by such logic? What would you need it for? What do you mean, what would you need it for? You need it because you're saying this specifically is Matam Yadayim, even when Yadayim are not Stam Yadayim. Tosis is bothered by this. And Tosfos says that, look, it's not, the Gemara did not consider it reasonable that they would be gozer in this particular case because it's a nilsit alor shkicha. Now, it's to say that Bedakta were going to make a gezer about Yadayim that were no gay of a sefer immediately after the Tilat Yadayim. Once we made the gezer already of Stam Yadayim, okay, so we can now include in it, we're not going to make a chilek between one and the other. In other words, once we made the gezeira for Rabbi Parnak's case, before there was a din of Stam Yadayim, now that we made a din of Stam Yadayim, we're not going to be mavatal Rabbi Parnak's case, since it's only nogeya, the strange situation where you just finished being notel yadav. But we certainly wouldn't have created such a case for chatchila. Elahav goes up, Reishavada goes up, the kulo yadayim. Okay, the next case you said in the Mishnah was tful yom. Tful yom. Tful yom is the araisa. Sivu ba shemesh v'taher. Only after biat shemesh does he become tahar. You're right. Samei mikan tful yom. Cross out tful yom. It doesn't belong. You're not from the Mishnah, obviously, as Tosfos points out, because the Mishnah wasn't talking about the Yud Ches Dover. The Mishnah was just describing things that are metane. But from the list of Yud Ches Dover, exclude tful yom. That wasn't the gezera. That was the arise. The next case he said was ochlin shenitma'u b'mashkim. When you say mashkim, that's an awfully broad word. I mean, what kind of mashkim do you mean? Mashkim demar. Ilema b'mashkim haba imach mat sheretz. You say, you had one of the mashkim that touches a dead sheretz. Now, a dead sheretz can be matam. A dead sheretz is not a tumah. That can be matami mashkim. But you're right. Those mashkim become a rishon and tumah. But you're right. If they're a rishon and tumah, you're right. They'll pass all truma. They'll be matami truma. But you're right. So, say, well, what does that do with the gzera? That's the right of Dichtiv v'chol mashkeh asher yishatet. The Torah says specifically that anything that you're going to drink, the chol kli, yitma. So, and that's talking about a sheretz that falls into the tanur and so on. So that can't be the case. Ella, the mashkin habayim makmat yadayim, the case over here is, where somebody before netilat yadayim, which the Rabbanan now said, yusam yadayim atanim, he now dips those hands into mashkin, and then these mashkin become tamei from those yadayim, and comes along now the additional takana to say that those mashkin that are boim makmat yadayim are also going to be matane the truma, to pass to the truma. The next case was kelim shenitbu b'mashkin. Look, I see I'm not going to understand your question, so I'll simply repeat what we just learned. Okay. I don't know what you're referring to. We said that there's a gezeira of mashkin, that they can, mashkin somehow can be matana, right? So the Gemara, well, obviously mashkin can be matana. I mean, what mashkin? Mashkin touch banana truma, sheretz? Obviously mashkin will be matana truma, that's a deraisa. No, the Kiddush over here is mashkin that come from stam yadayim will themselves be possibly the truma. That's how the chumrah of stam yadayim now is expressed one step further. They get now that, well, they actually get the dinner of rishon, it doesn't matter. The pasuk is the only pasuk. Right, the only pasuk. The next case that was hakelim shenitmu.
What is that phrase?
Because since we're not going to make a gzeira on a gzeira, but since it's possible for someone not to be careful about mashkin that touched a sheretz, and that would be matame midioraita, so therefore we want to make certain that a guy doesn't get close to mashkin tameim. So we were those are even mashkin that became tameim through a lack of netilat yadayim. Kalim shenitbu b'mashkin, again, kalim became tameim with what kind of mashkin? With the mashkin demai. Ilam b'mashkin dezav, what, a zav spit on these kalim? Is that the case? So then that's a diorita. The Torah says b'feirush, b'chiyarok ha-zav b'tahor, b'chibetz b'kadav, b'rachash b'mayim, b'tamei ha-da'arev, and we even darsh their mashkin b'yad tahor, to make tilachavatahor. Now this is an unimportant verse, because mashkin b'yad tahor is a completely different limud that teaches us the halacha tumas masa, and we're not talking about that over here. We bring it in because we were being gozer, we were quoting rather the Gemara Nida, so we brought this here. But it's a fair shabbos. It's a zog that spits on something. Is matame even something that's on the kapal tuma from an ava tuma? So what do we need a gezeira for? No, but the mashkin haboy makma sheretz. Here the mashkin that can be matame a kli are mashkin that are metame midioraita, but they're tame only as a rishon l'tumah, because they themselves touch a sheretz. But a rishon l'tumah cannot be metame a kli, because kli and adam is only mekabel tumah from an ava tumah. We needed therefore to make a gezeira. Why did we make the gezeira? We made the gezeira mishum mashkin dezov, since l'maisa it is not all that rare, and we know that a modality exists of tumas mashkin, namely, some spit from a zav, which lands on a kli, is a common enough occurrence, that the kli will become tamei midioraita. We were gozer that even water or other mashkin that are not an avatuma will be matamei tamei. Right?
So this some
for the purpose of possibly tuna. But there's some that will be matamei even midioraita. But again, the gezeira was not to give them the din of a rishon. The gezeira was to pasul truma, and therefore people would be zohir about mashkin. So they wouldn't come to actually ever being in a position of having mashkin that would be matami minet. Okay, that's the first nine cases. Now, you're telling me, says the Gemara, that the din of yadayim, tamidei shamai behilo gazer, the whole story about Aliyas Hananya ben Chizkiya was a story of the talmidim of Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. They had a vote, and it says that there were more talmidim of Beit Shammai there, and it would go through Yitzchak's barn. But we know that Hillel and Shammai personally were goes to the din of Tumat Yadayim, not the Talmidei Shammai Hillel. The Tanya Yosi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzreda, the Yosi ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim, made a very early gezerah of Gozru Tumat Al Eretz Ha'amin. They said that going into Chutz La'aretz is a suffix tumah at all times, because they're covert indiscriminately over there. And since a nochri can be metame b'maga, midiraisa or b'masa, they were afraid that kohanim that were knowing to walk in and out to chutzlaris, across the border and so on. There were a lot of issues for crossing the borders in some shias. So they were gozer tuma on that eretz ha'amim, just for coming in contact with it. Ve'al kli zchuchit, and glass coming into very common use, usually a rare situation. The Torah never talks about glass in terms of tuma. So they were gozer tuma on kli zchuchit, to give it a din similar to other kalim. We'll see later on what kalim they made it similar to. So they were gozer on kli zchuchit. Shimon ben Shetach tikein ktuval isha. One of the gzeres of Shimon ben Shetach was to be metaken. This doesn't mean literally it was metaken ktuval, which is an ancient Moar habitulos. It means he was metaken, that the woman could collect the ktuva automatically as a lien against all the property of the person. The reason he made that takana, surprisingly, was not to make it easier for a woman to collect, but to make it more difficult for a husband to divorce. It's very strange how it developed. Because since originally there wasn't a lien, so what happened is people would set aside a specific bank account for the ketubah, because otherwise there's no way she could get her money. The only way that you had a ketubah was by having her get money through basically having a wallet that had that money set aside. The problem is that once you have the ketubah money in escrow, then the moment he gets angry at her, he says, okay, you know, just take it. Out. So right again, like this, you've got to worry about a suit. Oh, you know what? Forget it. It's not worth getting divorced. You can get court for 20 years. But if he's got the money's already set aside, it's already in escrow, he's not using it, then basically out of sight, out of mind. So what the heck? The moment we get angry at his wife, we come too easily to divorce. Because of that, he made an interesting takana, which made it easier to collect in a sense, but therefore made it more difficult to pay. And by doing that, he protected the marriage. And he also was gozer at the same time. He was a tikka ktuvat isha, and he was gozer tuma kli matchot, which is strange, because metal kalim certainly were tamei midiraita, as we know from kli midya. And we'll see in the Gemara later on, this is talking about re-melted and reformed kli matchot. Shammai v'hillel, but this is the only point that we're trying to get to for our sugya. Shammai v'hillel gozru tuma al hayadai. Now, if they were already gozer tuma al hayadai, why is it showing up as one of the yudchet dvarim? Since Shammai v'hillel were before Hananiah ben Chizkiah. V'chi tema, maybe you'll think that doesn't mean Shammai v'Hillel personally. It means Shammai v'Siyato, v'Hillel v'Siyato. It means together with their Talmidim. And indeed, perhaps they were even present in the Yudchet Davar. So when it says here in the Mishnah, talks about the Yudchet Davar, it means there were at that point already an extended Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Shammai v'Hillel personally were involved, because we never would have said Shammai v'Hillel and Gozru if they hadn't at least been there. So okay, they were there. No. Because Amar Rav Yonah Mishmuel, Yud Chet Tavar Gozru, Ubi Yud Chet Tavar Nechleku. There were 13 arguments here which needed to be brought to a vote. And Shammai v'Hillel, 18, I'm sorry, and Shammai v'Hillel personally never argued in 18 things. Because we know that Hillel v'Shammai lo nechku ela b'shlosha mekamot. There were only three arguments between Shammai v'Hillel. And if you would include the Yudchet Davar, and you would claim they were present in the Aliyah of Hananiah ben Chizkiah, then there would be at least 18 that they argued in. The Omer Rav Huna b'shalosh mekamot, and nothing else. V'chulo v'tulo. V'chi teima atu inu gozru v'tulot v'atu tamidai v'gozru v'strov. And you try to get out of it by saying that Shammai v'Hillel indeed made a gzeir on Stam Yadayim, but only to give them a kind of a suffix truma, so that you wouldn't be allowed to eat the truma, but you couldn't burn the truma, because it was always a suffix, but they weren't gozer, truma v'adayit. Comes along now, the Yudchet Varim, and said, well, we're going to have to view it as an actual clear-cut tumat v'adayit. Then the problem will be that we know that's not the case, because Ilfa said, Amar Ilfa, Yadayim t'chilat gzeirat ha'nusrefa. From the very beginning, we had a gezerah of tumat yadayim, which was not mitlot. The gezerah never was a suffik tumah. The gezerah always was a varai tumah. So how do we explain the fact that the existence of this gezerah was well known before the time of Hananiah ben Chizkiah, and you're including it in the Tesfarim? Answers the Gemara, Ela atu inu gazur velo kiblu minayu, v'atu talmidayu gazur v'kiblu minayu. In fact, there was a history to this gezerah. And we'll see tomorrow that history goes back well before Shammai v'Hillel themselves. And they were gozer, and at that time, nobody accepted their gezerah. As we know, a gezerah that never is mitvashet, never acceptable in the kahal, it becomes bottled. And Bezin will check. You do a survey after a year following a gzeira to see whether the gzeira has taken hold. If the gzeira is not taken hold, the gzeira becomes bottled. So even though Shammai Rehila attempted to make a takana earlier on about Yadayim, it never took root. The people ignored it. Therefore, the Yud Chet Avar had to reinstitute what was already done by Shammai Rehila. And tomorrow, we're going to see that actually there was an earlier gzeira of Netilat Yadayim from the time of Shlomo HaMelech, and explain what the gradual development of this gzeira was. Meanwhile, it's pretty late, so we'll have to cut it here.